Today, Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Chav Dalet. We begin Chav Dalet Amar Aleph, about 10 lines down with the two dots, where we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ha'isha Atzma Mivia Vechule. The woman herself, if she is the Shaliach from her husband to go and deliver her get to herself in Chutz La'aretz, from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, so then she has to also say, Bifani Nechta, Bifani Nechta. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. Her question is, it said, the minute she gets the get, she's divorced. What is this, Bifani Nechta, that she has to travel to Eretz Yisrael? Isha, Miki Mote Gita Liyoda, Igarishala. The woman is divorced the minute the husband gives her the get. Isn't that true? And therefore, why are you saying that she has to go from Chutz Loretz, from Dinas Hayam to Eretz Yisrael, and then say, Bifani the base day, Bifani Nechta, Bifani Nechta? She's already a divorced woman. She got the get, she's a divorced woman. So how do we answer that? So Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, because the husband had put the following condition, and he said, but Omer, the husband had said to his wife when he gave her the get, he says, you be my shaliach, and go and deliver the get to yourself in Eretz Yisrael. Lo tizgarshi bo, you're not divorced with this get, ela b'fnei beis din ploni, before this beis din in Eretz Yisrael. So when you get to Tel Aviv, so then you'll present it to the beis din, and then you will be a divorced woman. But right now, you're not yet a divorced woman. Right now, you're acting as my shaliach to go and give yourself the get. That's what Rav Huna answers. Bottom line is, that's still a problem, because after everything is said and done, kimat yohasim, the minute she gets to Tel Aviv, so now her shlichus on behalf of her husband ends. She's given the get to herself, and now she's a divorced woman. Igar shaba. So what does she have to do in front of the basin and say, b'fani nechta, b'fani nechta? She's now the receiver of her get from herself when she was acting as a shliach for her husband. As soon as she gets to the basin in Tel Aviv, she's now a divorced woman. What does she have to do in front of them? Someone says, you're right. That can't be the scenario. Elo Amar Rav Huna bar Manoach, Mishmei the Rav Acha b'rei the Rav Ika. Rav Huna, who is the son of Manoach, said over in the name of Rav Acha, who is the son of Rav Ika, you know what the scenario is? The Amar law, the husband had told his wife when he gave her the get in Chutz La'aretz in the Medina Sayam, he said to her as follows, Kimotis Hosom Asnachaya Ara Vishakli. No, when you get there, you're not yet divorced. I instructed you to put it on the ground, and therefore now you're done with your shlichus. Now, you go pick it up from the ground, and when you take it, now you'll be a divorced woman. So that's what the facts are. Mor says, that also doesn't work. Ihachi, if that's exactly what the husband told her, so then it's not a valid giving of the get, because the husband has to give the wife the get. She can't just pick it up from the ground. And what you're saying is, the husband instructed her to put it on the ground, and now she's picking it up by herself. That's not the husband giving it to her. And in this situation, you have havile tli gitech miyal gabe karka. This would be the situation where if a husband tells his wife, irregularly, here's your get, it's on the floor, go pick it up. It's not in her rishus, just on the floor. In that situation, v'yom harava, if you were to go and say, tli gitech miyal gabe karka lo marklum, that accomplishes nothing. The husband has to vinasanla. He has to go and give her this sefer krisus. He can't just put it on the floor and say, go and take it yourself. So therefore, if you're telling me that the instructions were the husband said to his wife, go carry this get to Eretz Yisrael, put it down on the floor in Eretz Yisrael, and then pick it up afterwards, so then he's not giving the get. She's picking up the get by herself, and Rava tells us that that's not good. So that can't be what we're talking about. What are we talking about? So Gemara says, you're right. Ella, Diyamala. You know what the instructions from the husband to his wife were when he gave her the get? He said, have a shliach liholacha. You're going to be my shliach for carrying the get to Eretz Yisrael. Ad matis hasam, until you get to Eretz Yisrael. And then, v'chi matis hasam, when you get to Eretz Yisrael, then have a shliach likabola. Now you're functioning as shliach for yourself. You're going to give the get to yourself, v'kabli ez gitech, and go and accept your own get. So therefore, I am giving it to you, and you're accepting it. So you're giving it to yourself, so to say. You're functioning from giving it to yourself as my shaliach to give it to you, and you're functioning as yourself to go and get it. And therefore, we fulfill this idea that the husband is giving the get to his wife. Mar says, that's still no good. Here we have another problem. The shlichus has to come back to the baal. What exactly is this? So Rashi explains, a shaliach has to go and be able to come back after he or she has done the shlichus and say, I have accomplished my shlichus. So Rashi tells us, shaliach lo mikre, a person is not called a shaliach if they can't do this. Ella, unless when your person is being sent by Reuven to go do something, so they have to be able, when they're done with that something, to come back to Reuven. I did what you asked me to do. I did whatever you asked me to do to Shimon. So when the person is acting as the shliach of Reuven, they have to be able to come back to Reuven and say, I did what you asked me to do to Shimon. But in this situation, the woman, she cannot come back and tell her husband, I accepted the get, I gave the get to myself and I accepted it. Because v'zu eino ruya lachzor, she can't come back as the shaliach because she's now functioning as the one who's makabel the get. Shari lo nishtalcha el liatzva, because she gave it to herself. And then she's lost her status as being the shliach once she accepts it. She is now Shimon. So if she's Shimon, she can't also be the shliach of Reuven. And therefore, the shlichas has ended, it's finished, and she can't come back to Reuven and say, to her husband in this situation, and say, I did the shlichas that you asked me to do. Because she abrogated that shlichus by accepting it, by being Shimon, that no longer allows her to be the shliach Reuven, and therefore she can't fulfill this idea of chazru shlichus etzel abal. So that's not a good answer either. So we're still stuck. What is the case that the Mishnah is telling us that the husband gave her the get in the Medina Sayyam to carry it to Eretz Yisrael? How come she's not divorced right away? How does this work? What's going on? So the Gemara says, you're right. The Amala, in fact, this is what the husband said. The husband said, have a shliach liholocha ad matas hasam. Yes, you are acting as my shliach until you get to Eretz Yisrael. The chimatas hasam, when you get to Eretz Yisrael, then you go and appoint someone else. So the husband over here is appointing her to be the shliach till she gets to Eretz Yisrael. Then when she's in Eretz Yisrael, she's acting on behalf of the husband to the chimatas hasam. She gets there, shave shliach likabalah. Go and make someone else to be the shliach on your behalf. And not you. And therefore, you are still fulfilling your functionality as my shaliach when you give it to your shaliach. So now you create, ask somebody there, so go accept the get on my behalf. You hand that person. So therefore, you're not the one that's accepting the get. That shliach is accepting it on your behalf, but you're not the one. And this way, this would be called shlichus that is chazra etzel abal. And this way, we have no problem. Gemara says, that's only good according to certain opinions. That's good. Ha'nicha l'man di'omar. That's only acceptable according to the opinion that says Isha Osa Shaliach Lekabel Gita Miyad Shaliach Bala. That only works according to the opinion that says that a person can go and make a Shaliach Lekabala when they were sent by the husband to go and give the get. In other words, that works if you say that she's allowed to go and designate a Shaliach to now be her agent by which she's Mekabel the get when she's acting as the Shlichas on behalf of the husband. So if you hold like that, yes, that scenario would work. However, according to the other man, the Yomar, it doesn't hold like that. El man, the Yomar, ein ha'isha osa shliach l'kabel gita miyad shliach bala. There is an opinion that says that that doesn't work. If she's functioning as the shliach for the husband, she can't also then go and appoint the shliach to accept the get on her behalf. And as we said, she can't accept it on her own behalf because lo chazu shliach l'seh salabal. So in this scenario, according to this man, the Yomar, it says not only can she not accept it, but she can't even appoint the shliach to be her agent to be makabel to get on her behalf. So then, what is the scenario? Michael Meimar. So, Taima Maid, the Gemara says this is an answer. Rashi explains, Taima Maid is Terutso. We're going to explain why this works even according to this Mandiyama that normally says that Isha ein itza Isha osa shlich makabel gita miyat shlich bala. Why is that normally true? Because Mishum di'ika bizoyin the baal. On the normal circumstances, if the woman doesn't accept the get from the husband's shaliach, she's basically dissing him, saying, yeah, I'm not accepting the get for your shaliach. I'm going to have a shaliach of mine accept the get. I don't have anything to do with your shaliach. So that's a diss to the Baal. And this man, the Yomar, says, if you're dissing the Baal, mishum di'ikah bizoyin the Baal, maybe in this situation, the Baal has revoked his shlichus. Well, if you're not going to accept it by shliach, I'm not sending it then. So if you're not accepting it directly, you're making a shliach to accept it on your behalf, then I'm not allowing the shliach to go be the shliach. That's the normal concern that this man, the Yomar, has, why he says, Eina isha osa shliach l'kabel gita, na shlich baal, because of this bizoyon to the baal, this dissing of the baal, he may revoke his shlichus. And therefore, there was no valid way to give this woman or her shliach to get on her behalf. However, in this situation, the Gemara answers, V'hocha ba'lo kopit. Here the husband is telling her to do that. So therefore, there is no problem, even according to this man, the Yomar, it says, Eina isha osa shliach l'kabel gita miyad shliach bala. In this scenario, where we know that the husband wants that, it is perfectly acceptable. So it says, that's only good, that's a good teretz, that only works, however, if that's the reason why this man, the Yomar, holds that Eina isha osa shliach l'kabel gita miyad shliach bala, That is a machlokis in and of itself, why that shita, why that mandiyama holds that way. So hanich lemandiyama, this works out great. It says the reasoning is bishum dibizoyon debal, because of this dissing of the husband, and that's the concern that he revokes his shlichus. So here, clearly he doesn't do that because that was his choice. But that's not the only reason why this shita holds the way it does. El lemandiyama, there's another mandiyama that says the reason why a woman can't make a shliach to be makabel this when she's acting as a shliach for the husband is mishum chatzera habol li'acha mikan. There is another concern. This man the Omer has a different explanation for why we hold that ein ha'isha osa shliach makabel gita miyat shliach debal. And that is because of this concern of chotzer acheres. Rashi, in Dibur Masu, mishum chatzera habol li'acha mikan, he says, the domin lahadode, this would be comparable in people's minds to the following scenario, which would be a problem. Kishin Zorach get lechotzer chaveru. Reuven throws the get into Shimon's yard. The acharkach konsuhi hechotzer. And while it's in Shimon's yard, the husband hasn't given it to her. He's not making Shimon a shliach. It's in Shimon's yard. Then the wife goes and purchases that yard from Shimon and acquires the get that's within it. Hari Yosef sechotzer shliach leholich. So if the husband had made Shimon a shaliach, that would work well. However, he didn't make Shimon a shaliach. He just threw it into the yard. And now the woman acquires the yard, so it's as if she's getting it not from a shaliach of her husband, but just acquiring it. It's no different than if she were to go pick it up from the ground, which we said before, Rabbi explained before, that that's no good. And therefore, because of this concern, that it would lead people, and that wouldn't be allowed, because in that situation, it only works because it is an extension of her hand. So when she acquires it in that situation, it would work because she is now acquiring it in her hand. And therefore, that would be different. Because in that scenario, when she's picking it up in her hand, Reuven didn't put it there. She's picking it up from the ground, and it's no good. So people might mistakenly think, in our scenario, if you allow the woman to go and make a shliach to accept it from the shliach of the husband, so they could lead to them mistakenly allowing it in this situation as well. And therefore, this is no good. So according to this man, the Yama's explanation of the shita of Ein Isha, so then, what is the answer? So Gemara gives two terutzim. Number one, the Amar Lo, the husband said to his wife when he gave her the get in the Medina Sayam, Have shliach le'olacha ad-demot is awesome. Yes, you're acting as my shliach until you get to Eretz Yisrael. When you get to Eretz Yisrael, then, v'chimot is awesome, shave shliach le'olacha, then, don't pick somebody to go be the shliach to be makabelit on your behalf, because that would be a problem according to this man d'yomar. But go and designate another shliach to continue carrying out my shlichus. So when you get to Eretz Yisrael, go to Yankel and say, Yankel, I'm acting on behalf of my husband, and he is designating you to be the shliach of my get. And then you go and give that get to me, and then you can go get the get from that guy. Therefore, this is a shliach that is, in fact, choseris lebalam. Because when she gave it to this other shliach, she could go back to the husband and say, I accomplished what you asked me to do, and in theory, that is a perfectly valid shlichus. And now, when she go gets it from the shliach, she's getting it from someone who's her husband's shliach, and therefore, she's getting it directly from the husband, she's accepting it, and it is perfectly good, and there are no concerns over here according to any of the shitas. This is teretz number one, what our Mishnah is talking about. Ibai Samuel Gwar says, alternatively, there's another teretz. You know what? The husband said to her, the Omar law, heavy shliach le'aloch, adim al-sasim. Again, you're going to be my shliach from Medina Sayam until you get to Eretz Yisrael. And then when you get to Eretz Yisrael, v'chimot isasim, once you're in Eretz Yisrael, emar kamei beidina, go to the Beis Din in Tel Aviv and tell them these words, b'fonei nechtam, b'fonei nechtam. You're acting as the shliach of the get, going to the Beis Din, and then you tell the Beis Din, this is a valid get, b'fonei nechtam, and then the Beis Din, umashwe beidino shliach, the Beis Din will act on my behalf and make a shliach for the giving of the get to you, b'leizvua nialech, and they have the right to then go and give you the get on my behalf, and this way we get around all the problems as well. So this is teretz number two to what the Mishnah is talking about when we said that the woman is given the get of Medina Sayam, but doesn't yet makabel it until a later point in time when she's in Eretz Yisrael. Hadru lecha maybe get, hadru lecha maybe get, hadru lecha maybe get. And now we start the third parak. There's an interesting discussion. What's the name of the third parak? The girsa that we have in the Gemara is called get. However, if you look in Rashi, he has the girsa kol haget. If you look in Tosus, he has the girsa kol haget. Many of the other Rishonim have the girsa kol haget. So in the vernacular, and you'll see on the top of all the dafim, this parak, the third parak of getin, is known as kol haget, even though our first words in our girsa are kol get. So we begin the parak, kol get, kol haget, shenichtav, shelo lishum isha, pasul. If a get is not written lishma, as we've already learned quite a bit already in this Masechta, especially in the first parak and even in the second parak, a get must be written lishma. And while we had the famous machlokas already between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir as to what lishma means, our Mishnah is going to go over some of this again, and it says that if the get is not written lishum a specific isha, the husband has to write it for a specific wife, so then it is possible. In those days, they could have more than one wife, and therefore he had to write it specifically for that wife. He couldn't write it, as we'll see, generically for whichever one of his wives he displeases him, he's going to give it to, so that doesn't work. It has to be from that specific husband with intention for that specific wife. So kol get shenichtav shelo lishum isha is possible. It's no good. Now, what are we talking about? Ketzad. Mara is going to give us a list of each one, each case that they give. The next case is going to be a Chiddush. The next case is going to be a Chiddush. The next case is going to be a Chiddush. And this is the style that the Mishnah has. So the first case is as follows. And I'm giving you with the understanding, the final understanding that the Gemara has, so the question that the Gemara will have won't be so such a question. It will look so obvious because I'm telling you the answer already. But, Haya, over by Shuk, if a man is walking in the Shuk and he passes by a store where they're teaching people how to be a sofer, Vishama kol sofrin makrin, and he hears the people inside the store saying out loud the words of the get, because they're learning how to write a get. So they say the words out loud and then they print it. So, and a person's passing by and he says, wow, my lucky day. Ish ploni megarish es plonis mimokum ploni. He hears them saying in the store that Yanko, that comes from such and such a place, is divorcing his wife Sarah, that comes from such and such a place. And he says, hey, that's exactly my name. Omer, zeshmi v'zeshem ishti. Wow. I'm going to save myself. I get a discount because they're writing such a get already. And he goes inside, he takes that get, and then he gives it to his wife. That is not a valid get to go and divorce his wife. So that's case number one in the Mishnah that wasn't even written l'shem get at all. It was just written for teaching purposes. So it wasn't even written havamina originally that it was written for the purposes of divorcing a woman. So that's case number one. Then we go yasimiket. A bigger chiddush is the following scenario. Even more so is the following scenario. A person is writing a get. Kosav legarshes ishto. Reuven decided to divorce his wife, Rachel. And then he changed his mind. V'nimlach. And he said, no, Baruch Hashem, we have a happy marriage. I'm not going to divorce her. So what does he do? He throws it into the garbage. Another guy, whose name is Reuven, who happens to have a wife whose name is Rachel, finds that get. Mitzo, Beniro, another Reuven from that very city comes, finds that get, and he says, V'amalo, and he says, wow, my lucky day. Shemi kishimcha, my name is Reuven, that guy's name is Reuven, we both come from this city. And his wife's name was Rachel, who comes from such and such a city, shem ishti, kishem ishtecha, and has the same exact name. Baruch Hashem, I saved myself the cost of having to write a get. And he then goes and gives that get to his wife, so pasul legarishbo, it is not a valid get to go and divorce his wife. That is not considered a good get. Now, even a bigger chiddush, we turn to Chof Dalit on the base, Yasimikan, the following case is even a bigger chiddush. And what is that? Hayulo shtei noshim ushmoseim shabos. Reuven is married to two women. Both of the names are Rachel. And he goes to a sofer, and he says, Kosav legarish es agdola. He said, go and write me a get. He tells the sofer, write this get for the older wife, whose name was Rachel. She's the older one. And he says, I'm going to divorce the older wife. I'm going to keep the younger wife. And then he decides to go and change his mind. And he wants to use that same exact get, which he authored. He authorized the sofer to go and write that get, albeit for the older wife whose name was Rachel, and not for the younger wife whose name was Rachel. So, lo yigarish esaktana. He is not letting go, even though he authorized the get. So it was written for his behalf, but it was written for the older Rachel, not the younger Rachel. That's not considered lishma. And this is the yasimikain in this Mishnah, that even that scenario was written for Reuven's wife, but for the wrong wife, lo yigarish bo esaktana. He's not allowed to use that get to go and divorce the younger Rachel wife. And finally, the bigger chiddush is yasimikain, even more so, if he says, Amar lelablo. He goes and tells the lablo, that's the sofer, and he says, listen, I have two wives. I don't know yet which one I'm going to go and divorce. I can't afford to have two. I'm going to divorce one of them. I'm going to see in the next week or two which one is nicer to me, and I'll divorce the other one. So he goes to the lablo, Amar lelablo, and he says, Kisov le'ezo she'eretze agarish. Go and write me a get Let's say both the names are the exact same, so therefore he can sell it, go write a get for one of my two wives. One of them is Rachel, the other one's also Rachel. I'll decide which Rachel I want to give it to. So it was written for her or her tzara. So in that situation, also possible garish. But the Mishnah tells us even in that scenario, where one could argue that there really was Lishma over here, it was certainly authorized by him for his wife, albeit he didn't specify which one, so nevertheless, possible garish. So each case is a bigger chiddush than the case before. We had four cases, and now the Gemara goes to discuss the first case. It will tell us the obvious scenario, which I already explained, but right now it's a question. So, Kosav Ligar says Ishto v'nimla v'chule. So, the second case seems to be identical to the first case. It wasn't written on his behalf for his wife. In the second case, we said he found it. In the first case, isn't it the same thing? Another guy wrote it for his wife, and he threw it away. Aren't they both talking about the same thing? Skor says, no. The El Ratio B'mai, what's the first case talking about? Amr Papa, Besofrin Hasuyin Lislamid Eskina. The first case, as I explained, was talking about that it was a sofer school, and they were teaching them how to write a get. So it wasn't even authorized as a get on behalf of anybody for someone else. It was purely a instructional type of a training over here, and therefore it's not good at all. And that's the first part of the Mishnah. The second part was, it was authorized as a get, but for a different person, for a different wife, so therefore, it's no good. That's the first case and the second case. And Amar Rav Ashi says, I'll show you a diuk that that's true. In the first case, it's talking about a sofer school. Because Daikonami, look at the words carefully. It says, Diktani Sofrin Makrin. The sofer was dictating. He was reading it out loud. Write down now that the Baal of the woman states as follows. I, so-and-so, coming from such and such a place. And they wrote down, I, so-and-so, coming from such and such a place. So it said Makrin. He's dictating to them. Veloktani Sofrin Korin. And it didn't say the sofer were reading it to themselves. In other words, you clearly see from the language of the Mishnah that it says Sofrin Makrin, that one Sofer is teaching the others how to do it, and therefore that's clearly the first case is talking about Bisofrin Asuyin Lislamid Eskina. So that explains the first case. And now we understand the second case. My Yosef Mikain, what is the second case telling us more? Because Tana Dei Rabbi Shmuel, Lo Zeh Shenichtav Shelo L'Shum Gerushin. The first case was talking about it wasn't even made L'Shem Gerushin. And that you could say is no good. But, Ella, maybe if it was made for Gerushin, albeit for somebody else, but you happen to have the same name, your wife happens to have the same name, that would be good. So the Chiddush in the second case is Ella, Av Zeh Shenichtav L'Shum Gerushin is possible, even though the person who wrote it was intending originally to divorce his wife. Rachel was originally intending to be divorced with this get by your husband Ruvein, but then he decides Nimlach and he throws it in the garbage, and you happen to be Ruvein, and your wife happens to be Rachel, you can't go and pick up that get. Even though it was written L'Shum Gerushin, it's still no good. Certainly, if it wasn't good, if it was just L'Islamet, but even if it was written L'Shum Gerushin, but for someone else, that's not considered L'Shem Gerushin L'Shma, and therefore the second case is no good. V'lo Zeh Shenichtav Shelo L'Shum Gerushin Didei, Ella, and the third case is, okay, here, it wasn't somebody else. Here, he was writing it for his own wife, albeit the older wife, who had the same name as the younger wife. So here, you might have thought, it was written by him on behalf of his wife, albeit the wrong wife. You might have thought that that's good, and therefore, it's no good. That's the chiddush of the third case. And the fourth case, the lo zeh shelo nichtav l'shum gerushin ha, Ella, Av Zeh Shenichtav L'Shum Gerushin Ha Pasul. In the third case, you could say it was never written for the younger wife. It was specifically written for the older wife. But in the fourth case, it was written for one of the two wives. So one could argue in some way that it was written by this specific husband for potentially this specific wife. It was left as a option. So you might have thought that's called the Shema. So the Chiddush of the fourth case is no. Even in that case, Pasul Ligarish Bo. You can't use the get even in the fourth case. Now the Gemara asks, my Tamo, what's the real reason? I already explained all this, so the Gemara flow very easily. What's the reasoning in case 1, case 2, case 3, and case 4? Why they're actually no good? We've explained it has to be Lishma, but where do we see this from the Psukim? So the Pasuk says, the Kosav Lo Seh for Krisus. So we have to explain the Nosan. We have to explain all the words. So if the Pasuk had just said, I Kosav the Nosan Seh for Krisus, if it had just written down in the Torah, the Nosan Seh for Krisus be your daughter, that you have to give your wife, it just said, if it had just said, the Nosan Sefer Krisus Biyada, you know what I would have said? Havamina Limute Herkama. That would have gone to only exclude the first case in the Mishnah because it has to be a Sefer Krisus, the Lo Ovid L'Shum Krisus, and that wasn't made L'Shem Krisus. But I would have said the second case is good. Avo Kosav Ligarish Ishto V'Nimlach, if somebody else had written a get for the purposes of Gerishin and then decided not to divorce his wife V'Nimlach, so then I might have thought that that's a perfectly good get because the Ovid L'Shum Krisus, he wrote it Sefer Krisus, and therefore a Makosha, I might have said that that's good. Therefore, Kosav Rachmana, no, it has to be the Kosav, you have to write it L'Shma. It must be written by the husband, and therefore it's not good if it was written by a different husband who then decided not to divorce his wife. No, if it had only written, Vikasav Sefer Krisus, Ikasav Rachmona Vikasav, so you know what? Have a mean, I would have said, Limute Haidlo Iu Kokotzele. That would come to exclude when somebody else wrote it. But if you wrote it yourself, albeit for the older wife, and then you decided to change your mind and give it to the younger wife, I might have said, that's good. Avo, Yeslo Shnei Nashim, Diu Kokotzele. He actually wrote it. Albeit for the other wife, I might have said, Eimah Kosher, it's good. Therefore, Kosav Rachmana. Therefore, the Torah says, Kosav Law. It must be written specifically, Lishma, for that specific wife. It can't be written for the older wife, and then you go and give it to the younger wife instead. No, the fourth case, that seems to have no bigger chiddush in it. So, it obviously wasn't written for the wife specifically. It was written for one of your wives. Why is that no good? The Sefer Lomeli, why do I need that fourth case? Doesn't it already fall into it? Wasn't written Lishma for that specific wife? So the Gemara says, no, there's a Chiddush in the fourth case as well. Hokamash Belon, the Ein Breira. The Chiddush of the fourth case is that we don't apply Breira on a Daraisa level. Breira is a retroactive declaration to say that this would be good after the fact. That, okay, I said I'll give it to whichever one I want to. Now it's clear that I wanted to give it to wife B instead of wife A. So you might have thought via the principle of Breira that it's retroactively clarified that that's the one that he wrote it for originally. So Kamash Vulam, that Breira doesn't work on a Din Daraisa. So those are the reasons, the Mai Taima, for all four cases in the Mishnah, based upon the Psukim and teaching us this principle that there is no Breira over here on a Din Daraisa. Now the Gemara says, in the case that we quoted, Kosav Ligarish Hagdola, Lo Yigarish Osaktana, in the scenario of case number 3, where he said he's going to divorce the older one, so he's not allowed to use that get. If the younger wife's name is the same as the older wife, he can't use that get for the younger wife. Now, that implies Kitano Hu Delo Motzi Megarish Bey. However, Ha Gedola Motzi Megarish Bey. You're right that it's no good for Kitana, but it implies that it still is good for the Gedola. And therefore, we can conclude the following. Amar Rava, Rava says, Zosomeris, we can see from this din that let's say there are two people in a city that have the exact same name. Shnei Yosef Ben Shimon. They have the first name the same and their father's name is the same. Two people in the city happen to have the same first name and their father's name is the same. So you have two people in the city, Shnei Yosef Ben Shimon, Hador and Birachas, that live in the same city. They are allowed, Motzin Shtar Chov Alachem. They can, in fact, go and bring a debt document and collect from someone else. In other words, the person who they're serving this IOU to cannot go and say, hey, I never borrowed from you. I borrowed from the other Yosef ben Shimon. And therefore, I don't have to pay you back, and I already paid back the other Yosef ben Shimon. He can't say that. In fact, the court will allow the Yosef ben Shimon who brings the get to go and collect it on his own behalf. And Rava is basically saying that this is an answer to a machlokas that we have in the Gemara in Bava Basra, as Rashi brings down. As Rashi says, the Dibra Maskul, Motzin Shtachov, Echod Mehen Shahotzi Shtachov Alachem. If one of these Yosef and Shimon goes, brings a Shtachov, an IOU, that he says, so-and-so lent me money, Ein Halova, that person can't say, Ein Halova Yochel Omer, Lo Mimcha Lovisi, I really didn't borrow from you, I borrowed from the other Yosef ben Shimon. Elami Ploni, Shishmo Kishimcha, Umimenu Nofal, and it dropped out of his pocket, and you're collecting from it or trying to. And I have nothing to do with you, and therefore I'm not paying you. No, he can't do that. Elokivan, the high tofis, lishtara, govi bay. Since this person goes and brings this document, so we have to assume that he's the real owner of this document, and even though there's another Yosef and Shimon, Rav is telling us that we can learn from our case here that the older wife is divorced, even though her name is Rachel, and the younger wife's name is Rachel, the older wife has the divorce. She can't say, well, maybe he intended it for the younger wife, and it's really not her get. No, she's accepted to say, this is my get, because it's in her possession, so too, this Yosef ben Shimon, we can learn from here the answer to that question. He can go and collect from this IU, from the other person. The other person can say, lav bal dvarim didiyat, that you have nothing to do with me, it fell from the other person's pocket. That's what Rava wants to suggest. However, Amli Abaye says, based upon that, Elwayata, so Reisha, in the first case, where we said, diktani, shmi kishimcha, when the guy found a get that was written by another Ruvain for that other Reuven's wife, Rachel, and then he decided, Dimlach, he decided not to divorce it. He threw it into the garbage, and you picked it up. So in the Reisha, where it says, Shemik Shimcha, he says, hey, my name's Reuven, and my wife's name is Rachel. So we had said, the Apostle Legarishbo, why is that? Sheni hu de lo motzi megarishbo. That implies that the second person can't go and divorce his wife with that one. But the first guy, the first Reuven, Harisho motzi megarishbo, would be, in fact, allowed to go and do this. Now, that would imply, Abaye tells Rava, that if somebody came to either Yosef and Shimon and said, here, you owe me money, he could go to either one of the two Yosef and Shimons and say, listen, you owe me the money, and you have to pay me. And that person can say, no, it was the other Yosef and Shimon. Now, that's obviously not correct, He can't just go to whichever one he wants to and go collect it. He has to have proof as to which Yosef b'Shimon it was. We learned there, below nobody else can go and come to either one of them and say, hey, you're the Yosef b'Shimon who owes me money. So from the second case in our Mishnah that said that another person can't use that get, but the first person could use that get, so we should be able to learn, Abaye tells Rava, that you should be able to go to either Yosef ben Shimon and go and collect that debt that you're claiming that they owe you from whichever one you want. But that's not the din. What are you going to say? Elamai Yisrael Chamema, you must answer Be'ede Mesira, that we're dealing here in our Mishnah with Ede Mesira. So the Ede Mesira, the Rebbe Lozahi, and that's what makes this get really work, and the witnesses are coming to testify, yeah, this is the Reuven that gave the get to his wife Rachel, and not the other Reuven, who has a wife named Rachel. So just like you must be saying that we're dealing over here with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, who says, Ede Mesira Karsi, and that's why there's no concern, so too. Hochanami, we must be talking about Ede Mesira. We're dealing here with a woman who has Ede Mesira, the Rabbi Elazahi. And the third case as well. That's why. It's not that we believe automatically, and we can answer our question from the Gemara in Bava Basra, that we believe this person, and he can go collect based upon the fact that he's Yosef ben Shimon, he claims that it was more documented and it didn't fall from the other Yosef ben Shimon. So therefore, in fact, this is how you must explain the Mishnah, Abaye says, and therefore you can't bring a Saraya to anything from Baru Basra. Here we're dealing with Ede Mesira Karsi, the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rav continues and tells us, Amar Rav, Rav tells us, Kulan, all of the Gittin in our Mishnah are in fact considered, all four cases are considered to a certain extent a Reach HaGet. What does that mean, a Reach HaGet? It means Poslin Bikahuna. They would in fact not allow this woman to go marry a Kohen. If her husband then were to die, she would have a reach of a get. So Rav tells us all of them, now it says chutz min arishon, except case one. Case one, according to Rav, doesn't even have the smell of a get. It doesn't have the reach of a get. But cases two, cases three, and cases four, according to Rav, all would have a smell of a get. In other words, we have to be concerned that people would mistakenly think, oh, if this woman got a get, and she's marrying a Kohen, then it must be that a Kohen's allowed to marry a Grusha. So therefore, the rabbi said, even if it has a Reach of a get, you're not allowed to go marry a Kohen if the husband were to die. She's actually a widow and not a divorcee. Of course, if he was a divorcee, if this get really worked, of course you couldn't marry a Kohen. But here, the get doesn't work. And therefore, one would say, technically, Min HaTorah, she'd be allowed to go and marry a Kohen. So the rabbis, according to Rav, instituted, at least for cases 2, 3, and 4 in the Mishnah, that she's possible to go marry a Kohen, even if her husband died and she's technically a widow. So that would be true for case 2, 3, and 4, but chutz min arishon, case 1, is so far-fetched, Rav says, there was a training get, it was an instructional get, and therefore, that doesn't have the reach of a get, and would not possible this woman from marrying a Kohen. Shmuel says, no, even in that first case, Shmuel amar af rishon nami poso. Even the first case was an instructional get, that still would be enough of a reach of a get, a smell of a get, that Shmuel would say that this woman, if her husband died, would not be allowed to marry a Kohen. And Shmuel goes according to his reasons that he expressed elsewhere. The Amar Shmuel said, any place where the rabbi said that this is not a valid get, nevertheless, pasul, it is a pasul a get, uposel, and it will not allow this woman to marry a Kohen. And if in fact her husband is a Kohen, he no longer can live with her. So he, in this situation, has the reach of a get, and any place where there is a get that we declare it's pasul, so once we have to declare the get is pasul, so then this woman is already considered in the eyes of the rabbis as a divorcee, even though she's not, and therefore if her husband dies and she's technically a widow, she still is not allowed to marry a Kohen. So pasul, the get is no good, that divorce doesn't take effect, but it's enough taking effect that it will pasul her from marrying a Kohen. And likewise, the same thing Shmuel said, if you did a chalitza, a woman Nebuch lost her husband, they had no children, and she falls Yibam to her brother-in-law, her dead husband's brother. So he has to do Yibam or Chalitza. So if he did a Chalitza, that is not a valid Chalitza, so she still is Zekuka to that Yavam. However, in that situation where the Chalitza was done incorrectly, it still has like the Reach of a get. It has the Reach of a Chalitza, and once it has the Reach of a Chalitza, Pesula, she no longer is allowed to marry a Kohen Midrabanan. So even if this Yavam were to pass away, and now she's technically a widow from both her original husband and from this Yavam, nevertheless she can't marry a Kohen, she has the Reach of Chalitza, Upostaltim and Achim, and in this situation, she wouldn't be allowed to go and do Yibam with any of the other brothers. Certainly not this brother that gave her the reyach of chalitza, but even any of the other brothers, she's possible to do Yibam with any of them, and she'll need a kosher chalitza from one of them in order for her to be then able to go and marry Lashuk, go marry anybody else. Now, that's what Shmuel said, and that's what Shmuel says even in the first case of Amishta, this reyach beget. Now the Gemara says, in Eretz Yisrael, b'mai Rava, they said over Amri Mishmei, the Rabbi Elazar, they said over the name of Rabbi Elazar. Again, this is Rabbi Elazar ben Pidos, the Amori Rabbi Elazar. He said, in the following scenario, where a woman did a chalitza, with instead of removing the right shoe of her Yavam, she removed the left shoe of the Yavam. Or she did the chalitza at night. So in either of these situations, small or Laila, chalitza has to be done during the daytime. It's a court process, and courts are in session during the daytime, not at night. Or if she removed the left shoe instead of removing the right shoe, in both of these situations, it is not a valid chalitza. However, Rabbi Loza said, psulos, this woman is no longer allowed to have Yivam done with her, and she, in fact, is still not yet muteris lashuk. She still has to have chalitza done properly with either that Yavam or a different brother. She has to have a proper chalitza and uposlos, and she's not allowed to have yibum with any of them. And if that Yavam and all the other brothers were not to be alive, so then she would not be considered a widow. She would still be considered a chalutza to the extent that she wouldn't be allowed to go marry a kohen, neither a banan. So that's the case of small and Laila, psulos, uposlos. We turn to Chafei Amud Aleph. However, if she did a chalitza with a katan, the Yavam over here was a katan, and she did chalitza with that katan, so that doesn't even have the reyach of chalitza, according to Rabbi Lazar. And likewise, if she did it with the anpilya, she didn't take off a shoe, but she just took off like a sock. In this situation, she took off some sort of a garment, a beged, a sock from the foot. So either doing the chalitza with a katan or doing the chalitza with a sock, so this is totally not a good chalitza. Psulos, it is totally not a chalitza. So much so that Rabbi Lazar tells us, vein postlos, she still in this situation could undergo yibam from either that person or any of the other kosher brothers to do yibam. And in fact, if they all would die, she is not considered a reyach of chalitza, and she'd be allowed to go and marry a kohen because she's considered an almana, and she's not considered a grusha or a chalutza in this scenario. But if it was small or Laila, that does have the reyach of a chalitza, and therefore she would be possible to do yibam, and she would in fact not be allowed to go and marry a kohen. If the yavam were to pass away, she would be considered a chalutza, and midrabbanan would not be allowed to go and marry a kohen. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shir.